Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown. Before he says anything else, I just want to cover that. Therefore, what's it there for? We always want to know that. Well, it's there for chapter 3. Our lifestyle, verse 20, is in heaven, from whence also we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. One word for that, anybody? Resurrection is exactly what he's talking about. He's talking about changes vile. Yeah, you think about your body as vile. I never have. I'm starting to. It's not cooperating with me. I drop a penny now, and I'm thinking, yeah, is it worth it? I'm the guy who, I always see a penny on the ground, a dime or a nickel, that goes without saying, but a penny, and I always want to pick it up. And you're saying, that's not even worth your bending over. It says, in God we trust, and I just don't think that should be on the ground. Is that silly? That's my heart, so I always pick it up. Now I'm, I drop one, I'm thinking, I don't know. I flip a dime down beside it. For a penny, no. For 11 cents, yeah, I better bend over. Yeah. It's just because getting up isn't the thing it once was. You know how you used to pop out of bed when you were a kid? Now you kind of, you have to recuperate from sleep. It's ridiculous. My body isn't, I'm not 18, and I realize that. It's a vile body. It's breaking down. It's not made for heaven. This isn't the heavenly model. You're looking great, by the way. Okay, don't feel all self-conscious because I'm doing this. you look fabulous. But here's the thing: it's vile compared to what is. He's going to give us a new body, like his body, the kind that walks through walls, appears, disappears, the kind that he always eats after the resurrection. Did you notice that? Every time he appears, there's food involved. I love that. Because it says to me, because I don't think like the heavenly body knows hunger. You can eat, but you don't have to eat. There's a marriage supper of the Lamb. I think you're going to be very interested in it. But it's not like, oh, I am starving like Marvin. Come on, bring on the grub. It's not like that. It's like just fellowship and enjoyment. And it's going to be a glorious body, according to the working whereby he's able even to subdue all things unto himself, including our flesh. What's ailing you? Yeah, I got a toothache. I got this knee. Oh, my spleen is spleeny. Not there. Not there. All those things go away. Therefore, because of resurrection, in light of that, what Jesus has come back and what he's going to do in us and for us, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown. Those are endearing terms, are they not? He loves his Philippian church, and they love him. Brethren, you can say that, cistern, same. It's a multi-use term. It's not gender specific. Dearly beloved, as I'm feeling you, Paul, I know, and longed for, because he's away from them, and he's longing to be with them. My joy and crown. Crown? What do you think? You're a king among us? No. He's talking about his reward that he's going to receive from the Lord for leading this society, this city, this church to Christ. He's going to get rewarded for that. So, because of all that, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Go slay dragons, tilt at windmills. No, stand. Stand. So important. Have you known someone who didn't stand? Yeah, sorry to bring you down a sad place. We know myriads. We know dozens. We know some of them are us. Some of them have our last name. They were here. It was... In the things of the Lord, and now they're not. So I want you to stand, he says. Now, verse 2, I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Who are these, and what is the issue? They're two women. Those are female names, okay? In case you know somebody's having a female child, that's just some names you want to, Iodius or so. One of them means fortune and the other means, I can't remember, something similar. They're good enough names in Greek, right? They're not really English names. But they're two sisters and they are having a little bit of a conflict. What's it about? Well, it's not important. It's not important enough for him to say. But I will tell you this. It's not doctrine. It's not doctrine. Because if it's doctrine, Paul's like, okay, Syntyche, knock it off and straighten up. And he will call her out or Iodius, whoever it is. He'll call them out and say, okay, this is wrong, and you have to change that. If one of them is teaching some heretical, like the resurrection he just mentioned is already past, that would be incorrect, and he would call her on that. What are they arguing about? The drapes. I mentioned that before, and somebody said to me, did you go to a church that split over the color of the drapes? Not really, no. I don't know. At some point, that was such a use. Just a weird, you know, that's so silly, you know, that people have fights about that, and it just become emblematic for a silly fight, okay? I never went to a church that divided because of the color of the drapes. I never have. But it's always something silly, and this is what he's calling us to be, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, who's that? Help these women. Help them come to a place of agreement. Sometimes you get sideways over nothing. I know this to be true. Why? Because I do. And when I stop and look at it, it's like, Adam, really? Why don't you just grow up, son? You're losing your mind over nothing. Nothing at all. I'm sure I'm not the only one. You know what the problem is? They be of the same mind in the Lord. They're not of one mind. We are told earlier, let's mind the things of God. Let's not mind. Look at verse 15 of chapter 3. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. If anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. We were told earlier in the book, you know, don't be looking after the things of yourself, but everyone look after the things of others. Well, if we were doing that, what, you want purple drapes? What are you, ridiculous? That's the most, then we'd come to the place where, listen, I'm not going to war over. I think it's the ugliest color, whatever the topic is that's not, because if it's doctrine, wait a second. That's different. I'm not going to become a heretic to make somebody happy. There's always been I don't know how to say it right without, you know, I don't want to oversay it. I'm going to preach the truth, whether it fills up a church or whether it empties a church. I'm not trying to teach what's popular. I'm trying to teach what's biblical. And I've had challenges. It was Chuck Missler. I was listening to him on, I think it was Hosea something. He was talking about like a church, you know, they were advertising a 27% less commitment. You know, it's kind of like, it sounded like a beer ad or something like this. Home of the 7.5% tithe. Our sermons are no more than 15 minutes. And he's trying to like, you know, because he was talking about the zeitgeist of America and how we're less committed and less, and he was talking about the church that kind of exploited that and advertised like, there really is a temptation to, you know, they want less. They don't want more. People don't want to be challenged on, this is what the Spirit of God is telling us right here. They want to heap to themselves teachers that will scratch their ears and tell them what, you're awesome. You're doing awesome. You are just where in the sweet spot of Christianity. You're just doing exactly what God wants you to do. And there's never any challenges, never any, just be as lukewarm as you want, and God's so satisfied with the minimalistic effort that he gets. And there's that temptation. You know what I'm saying? Here, we're going to use that let's go along to get along about stuff that doesn't matter whatsoever. Doctrine? No. And again, you know, Paul doesn't, he calls out people on doctrine. He names names. Here he's saying, hey, fellow worker, whoever that person is, help them. Help them to see that this is, it's splitting up the church. It's a big deal over a small deal. It's really a molehill that's turned into a mountain now. But if they're like-minded and they're not worrying about their own agenda, they'll get it. I don't have an agenda. I think that's one of the things that I, right along, I never felt like any ownership. God says, you got one job, do it well. You don't own nothing here. I don't own anything. It's all blood bought. All I want to do, one trick pony, teach the Bible. That's the whole thing. And I want people to get along. I want us to be of one heart, one mind. Help these women which lay with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with many other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. So help them, help them, help them. Now, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. This is what the book's about. Isn't the first time we've run into this topic? And it's this point I want to remind us. Paul's in prison. Adam, if you know, I'd want to rejoice. I want to, you know, be a happy guy, basically. If you know what I'm going through. And I understand there are times when in a person's life they're going through something. It's kind of all-encompassing. Mom just died last week. You mind if I don't do a jig today? Yeah, that's fine. You know, we get that, okay? You know, whatever the situation is that you're struggling through, understand that. I think the tenor, the vibration that we're giving off, the aura surrounding us, or whatever new age term you buy into, ought to be one of joy. I can't remember. There was a character on the Flintstones of Pebbles and Bam Bam or something. There's this guy that had this cloud over him all the time, and woe is me, and everything was dismal and dark. Kind of an Eeyore kind of character. Or just think of Eeyore. You know, everything's bad, everything's bleak, woe is me, praise the Lord. Those things don't go exactly together all the time. You remember, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Hey, listen, I do a victory dance every day. I am not. Sin does not own me. Once it did, all my thoughts were sinful. My heart was desperately wicked, deceitful above all else. He's given me a new heart and a new lease on life. And there's got to be some joy involved in that. Maybe I'm in jail right now. Maybe it's a jail of my own making. Maybe I'm suffering physically right now. Maybe I'm struggling with relationships or challenges at work or whatever it is that you're up against, and everyone's up against something. I get that. I live this life too. Whatever it is, hey, I'm not going to hell. Whatever toothache of a thing is going on in my life, it's only temporary. This too shall pass. And I'm earmarked for heaven. God loves me. I'm his own dear son. These things ought to make a difference in our lives. Or is it just me? I really, really believe that. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Now, I don't want to make this sound like too much of a... It is a commandment. I don't think we can change that. But I don't want to pound you into like, you better be rejoicing, because this is again... By the way, I've never been that way about most things. I'm just not a shouter and a pointer and a... And I'm not trying to, listen, if the Holy Spirit of God convicts you in a past, it's just a wonderful thing. I love when the Holy Spirit convicts me and grows me and shows me and deals with me and teaches me. But I don't want to try to be the Holy Spirit and point my finger and yell and holler. That comes across more satanic than Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? He's the accuser of the brethren. I don't want anyone walk away from here feeling accused. Now, if the word of God spoke to you, amen, that's fair. And God can do that, and his spirit can convict. So I don't, it is a commandment, but I'm not trying to make it too heavy-handed a commandment. But it's more of an invitation in my thinking. God's saying, hey, think about it. You and me, eternally. That's got to bring a smile to you. That's got to bring some sort of, yay. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Moderation is such a tough word there. A lot of people struggle with that. Who's got a different word for moderation? Gentleness. Okay. And that's kind of what it is. Let's go with gentleness. Be famous for that. Why? The Lord is at hand means he's coming back soon. We already saw that in chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Look at this. Let your lifestyle, your conversation, it's in heaven, from whence also we look for the Lord, our Savior, for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking for him. In Paul's day, he was like looking up. You coming back yet? Anytime now, right? Paul thought that he was going to be part of the resurrection, the rapture. Remember, when we who are alive and remain, he thought he is going to be part of the rapture, except the dead in Christ rise first. Well, he's not going to miss out. Don't worry about Paul. But he thought he was going to be on the, because they had this sense of like any minute the Lord's going to return. I've been saying that for a long time. People say, yeah, so far you've been wrong. It served me well. I always live like it could be, this could be the day. Whatever's going on, whatever's negative, whatever's issue has got my life going sideways. And there's always one part of your life. You know, you think like, man, if I could just get rid of this millstone around my neck, everything will be, I'd be rocking it. But that's part of, that's always that, isn't it? And if it's not that, you finally get over that roadblock and it's something else. I know how it is. But at the end of the day, my life is characterized, and your life should be characterized by real, real, real joy. Let your gentleness be known in all. The Lord is at hand. He's coming back soon. Be careful for nothing. I want you to be reckless. I want you to definitely look before you leap. It's not saying that. Don't be full of care in anything. Don't be a worrier. Don't be. Anxiety is the watchword of our day. Anxiety. Everyone has anxiety. Does anyone know anyone who has anxiety? Panic attacks? Anxiety? You know, is anyone going to the doctor being treated for anxiety? It's all around us all the time. He's saying, don't have that. Wait a second, I can't control that. Well, I got in trouble one time. I got a lot of pushback for, I think it was actually on this passage. And I was saying, yeah, I think ultimately we are in control of that. And he's given us a formula to protect ourselves against that. Don't be full of care, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The answer is prayer. What, so I get anxiety and I start praying? No, you start praying and you won't have anxiety. But yeah, if I was full of anxiety, I'd pray. What should your prayer list look like? What are you anxious about? Oh, I get that meeting in the morning with Fred from accounting and you know how Fred is. And well, I don't know. Here's a crazy idea. Let's pray. Let's get God involved because God knows how Fred is. And let's involve God in the things that I'm anxious about. Listen, I'll do one of two things. I'll pray about it or I'll worry about it. Mom, God rest her soul, was the most worrisome person ever lived. You know, if the kids were supposed to be coming home at 10 o'clock and it was 10:01, that was because they got in a car wreck, their car's on fire, they're banging the windows, calling her name, and she's got to worry them home. Her worry is what made things happen, and unless she worried properly, nothing ever was accomplished. Did anyone ever hear anything so silly in all your life? She was committed to worrying. Mom, chill, relax. She didn't want to hear that. She won't hear that. It was worry that greased the gears of... We could... You don't have to be that crazy to be kind of a little bit cray-cray on what we... You will worry. You will. I do. I concern myself with this and this and this. And the Holy Spirit of God will say, why don't you make that a prayer request? And I'll... It's a great idea, and I'll pray about. What happens when you're concerned about something? I'm concerned about my son's condition spiritually. I am. I've been worried about that for a long time. What happens when you pray and nothing changes? Keep praying. I don't know. I mean, look, I don't know. He was 20. He's 46. He'll be 46 on his next birthday. You can do the math. What am I going to do? I'm going to keep praying. I don't know. You want like magic to happen. Every time you put something up on God's, he waves a magic wand and makes it come to instantly what you want. Who does that? Well, I'm just going to have faith, and I'm going to, yeah, show it to me. Just shut up. I don't want to hear the diatribe. Show it, and I'll believe it, okay? And I've never seen anyone who just makes God work exactly like they want instantly. Like they, a lot of people talk about it, but God's not your errand boy. He's the sovereign. And I realize about prayer, like, a big part of prayer is like me showing up for, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do today? What is my life? What do you want my life to look like? Now, it's all about him because he's a sovereign and I'm nothing to him. I'm just a cog, a mere machine that he is going to use to, no. Stop. He's our loving heavenly Father and he cares about us. But by everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep, shall garrison, shall guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. He cares about us. And he's saying, put all your cares on him. And what's the outcome of it? Well, he's the sovereign. I never gave my boys everything they wanted. I wanted to bless them, but they wanted some stuff that wasn't reasonable. Kids will. I said before, if we feed our kids just what they wanted, by the time they're eight, they'd weigh 307 pounds, have not a tooth in their head, and be all having heart surgery at nine, right? If we gave them everything they wanted, but we gave them everything they needed, to be sure, and I wanted to bless them. They didn't have to try to twist my arm into blessing them, and I think it's the same with God. But I was an adult, and they were little, silly little kids. And so you can't give them everything they want, but you give them everything that they need. And, you know, verse 19, we're going through, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. But this, I don't want to skip past this. Don't be worried. Just roll your worry list. That's your prayer list. What's concerned you? It's concerning him too. So what happens when we do that? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Or, God's a liar. I don't want to make it any, I don't want to change the rules of the game. If we're doing our part, He'll do his part. And I know this. I know this. And do I look like a guy who's like losing his mind and worrying about stuff and just long? It's been a long season where I've just like, I'm not showing enough concern for some people's, like, get worried. This is big. This is, yeah, okay, I'll pray. Yeah. I'm not going to get worked up. Why? I'll let God work, do the work, and I'll sit back and I'll let the peace of God, which passes all understanding. It's nothing you can understand. I should be really crazy worried about this. Nah, I prayed. God's on the, he's on the case now. I've done what I could. I prayed about it. Well, what if he wants you to do something? Well, he'll let me know. He's got my address. He's got my phone number. He knows where to find me. And I don't get worked up, and people get worked up that I don't get worked up. I'm sorry, peace of God. I'm not concerned. I promise you I'm not. I just, not arresting God. At some point you have to, right? I mean, listen, if it doesn't happen in 4 decades, you kind of feel like by that time it should, right? I'm like everybody else. I get all nerved up, get all worked up, get all in a lather about something where God's saying, just chillax. I totally got this. I'm sovereign of the universe. Well, Lord, you don't understand Fred in accounting. He's on. He's like, no, I made Fred in accounting. He's in your life for a reason. I'm trying to knock off some rough edges. Just, I got this. At some point, you got to say, oh, he's got this. And then, doesn't he show up for you guys? I mean, am I the only one he ever answers prayer? Because the Fred and accounting meeting always goes better than after I've prayed. He works, doesn't he? And peace happens. I can't figure it out. He says it passes understanding, but it garrisons, it keeps your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. And when I'm losing my mind and I'm all worked up about something, I just haven't prayed. Adam, really, is it that simple? For me, I believe these words to be what they purport to be. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. One of the reasons that we're not having peace of mind is because we're filling our minds with all that. You know, Mama, again, was the greatest example of this. Every time her and Susan got together, they're both ultra political. I'm pretty political too. I kind of got that. I was contagious, and Sue's got infected by it. So she leapfrogged over me, and she's super political. But I'm less so. But I'm still. I know what's going on. But when I talk to my mom, do you know what they're doing? Oh my goodness! Okay, breathe. Bring it down 1,000. What are you filling your mind with? And she was always on high alert. What they're doing. That's a recipe for disaster. I'm just telling you. The guy who loves you is telling you. I want to say this right. I know you want to know what's going on. So do I. When somebody asks you about, what do you think about the new tariffs that the president is, I want to be able to talk intelligently, don't you? So I want to know what's going on. I don't get my news through the news. One, they're lying to me. Okay, I figured that out. I figured that out when I was 4. Okay, I just did. My whole life I've known they're trying to form opinion, not inform you about what's going on. I've known that. If you just learning that, well, welcome. That's good. Good that you're here. So I want to know what's going on, and I want to filter that to what is super going on. Okay? Jesus is coming back. What are they doing now? They're right across purposes with Jesus. They're going to be in a mess of trouble when he shows up. Oh, it is not going to go well. Now, pray accordingly. Lose your mind. Act all crazy, zany. Just doubt God's in control? I don't see that verse. But I see you got to focus on, you physically have to focus on, because Satan is trying to get you focus on stuff that isn't. He wants you to lose your mind. He wants you to doubt God. Yea, hath God said? That's his modus operandi. Do we know that or do we not know that? That's who he is. That's what he does. No, I want you to think about the praiseworthy, the good, the lovely, the things of good report. I want you to think about what God's doing. These things, and of course that's going to add to our anxiety, what we're filling up our minds with. These things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Now he had already said, right, back in chapter 3, follow me. Therefore, as many help me out here. Oh yeah, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together with me. Now he's already asked you, okay, follow the leader, let's go. And now he's saying the same thing. These things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Why? Because I'm a peaceful guy. Paul, you're in prison and totally in peace. God is in control. How do you get like that? Well, I'm trying to tell you, he's saying. Don't think on all the worst aspects. You got issues? God cares about your issues. God cares about what you care about. Roll all your anxiety on him. Let your worry list become your prayer list. You'll be peaceful then, like I am. Follow me, he's saying. Verse 10, now this is a rather extended piece. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. He's talking about the gift that he had received from Epaphroditus. I got what you sent me, and I'm so happy about it. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Now, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He's not saying, thanks for finally helping me out. I'm glad you finally. He's not saying anything like that. He said, look, I so appreciate what you did. Now God's good. I want you to understand something. God's been blessing me. He's been taking care of me. But I want you to know what you did so blessed my heart. And he's trying to walk this, like, you know, like, thank you, thank you, thank you. And God is good. You know what I mean? It's not, look what I mean. I rejoice in the Lord, okay? Your care for me, financial, but you didn't have the opportunity. But now it's finally come. But I speak in respect, not that I speak in respect of want. I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. There is another key to the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Wherever I am is where God wants me to be, in the sense of, so I'm unemployed. Well, God wants me to go through this season of unemployment. Well, my relationships are really going poorly. Well, Euodius, Syntyche, here's something really practical, be of the same mind, but do we have relationship challenges? Well, of course we have relationship challenges, a fallen earth. I tell you about people who are married together for a long time. It's remarkable to me. People say, so how do you do it? And I'm thinking, I'd write a book if I knew. I don't know. Two cats in, two sinners in the same house, like two cats in a sack. I don't know. We're trying to employ the things that God has told us. We're trying to do that. I care about her a great deal. I really, really am mad, crazy in love with her. But you know how you get on each other's nerves and you just won't get all sometimes. I don't know. I'm trying to learn things like you're trying to learn them. But whatever state I'm in, when my relationships go inside, and by the way, they're not, just in case you're wondering. Whatever's happening, contentment. He's in prison. Think of all the deprivation. He doesn't have any privacy. He has to go to the bathroom like everybody else does. Can he get up and dance if he wants to? It would be really weird. He's chained to a guy. He's even to feed himself, he can hear the chain rattle every day, or whatever, right? He's got, how does he sleep? Not so good. Is he cold? Is he lonesome? Is he able to preach the gospel? Yeah, out of one guard at a time. And some of them are listening, and some of them are getting converted. I'm sure there's some saying, shut up, you say one more word, and I'm going to smack you so hard, your ears are going to be rattling. And just, you know how it is. Is he able to write these, well, dictate them to an amanuensis who's able to send them off to Philippi and herewith. But wherever I am, contentment. God's brought me to this place, and I'm okay with it. That's a big secret to contentment, to the peace of God, which passes all understanding. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Right? In sickness and health, in poverty or in wealth, you know the whole thing goes. All those things happen in a person's life. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, this is the most often quoted verse on Instagram. No, it really is. Someone had some statistics this morning, and I didn't write them down, but it's the most often quoted verse on Instagram. Usually, in sports endeavors, and, the victory, this is why I won, because Christ helped me, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank you for giving Jesus honor. That's not what the verse is about. Look at it in a context. I'm both, whether I'm full, whether I'm hungry. Think of the Marx Brothers movie, Monkey Business. They're stowaways on a ship, the Marx Brothers. And Chico says, I haven't eaten in 3 days. I didn't eat yesterday, I didn't eat today, and I'm not going to eat tomorrow. That's 3 days. It's a good movie, by the way, if you have an opportunity to see it. Have you gone 3 days without food because you didn't have any? None of us do, ever. I mean, it's a food bank. There's somebody who's going to feed us. I mean, okay, we've had want, but we don't have 3 days of hunger because we can't. And he's saying, no, I've done hunger. I've done fasting when I didn't even want to fast. Yeah, I know. And whatever. It's like, yeah, God's in control. Lord, I have any food in front of me to thank you about. I just thank you anyway because God bless you. Just thank you for just being careful of me and concern yourself with me. And just whether I have a whole lot or whether I don't have much or whether I don't have anything at all, I am content. God's in charge and I am right where he wants me to be. And that is the level of contentment we're talking about. God cares less about our maximum best bench press. I'm just saying, that verse is like, oh, I can do all things Christ strengthens me. I had 200 on the bench press today. And yeah, in my dreams, I'm not saying that about me. But here's what, so we use that way and stuff, and God's not, no. Look, you're really, really great at sports. You won the body lottery. Let's face it, if you're like 5 foot nothing, you're not a basketball star. You're not. What about, someone said, like, what about Muggsy Bogues? You mean one guy in a billion? No one can name anybody after that. You'll name one or two guys who were a little bit on the shorter side in the NBA. No, you win the body lottery, you have the right genetics, and then you work like a drudge. Your whole life is about pouring in, and God bless that. If somebody does that and they're focused and they're excelling whatever they do, that's great. That's why we watch. It's entertaining, when we see people of that caliber. Is that because Christ is strengthening you? I'm glad you're a believer. Welcome to the family. But if Christ is strengthening, we could all take a shot put and throw it a mile. Same Christ, right? No, it's not about the way they use it isn't, let's bring it back to us. Look, I've gone through some really desperately bad times. Me and Suze were poor. I don't know if you're going through poverty, if you know, especially when you first got married. We did poor. I wouldn't say we were poor as a church mouse. I'm saying we wished we were as poor as church mice. We had nothing. We had two nickels to rub together. And finally, you get two nickels ahead, your muffler falls off. You know how it is. And what about those times? Oh, I don't want to go back there. But they were delightful times, and we were, you know, God was testing our faith. And I remember, you know, checks showing up when nobody even knew for the amount that people didn't even know, and God just doing stuff. You know, I got stories like you got stories. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Whether I'm going through a really tough struggle, whether he's blessing my life abundantly, it's all good. God, you're in charge. That's what he's saying. I'm able to both abound, I can suffer need, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Thank you for your money. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Hey, you were the only people. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Nobody else. I mean, there are a lot of people who had a lot of money. They were very wealthy people. But you guys, you came through. And this is what he's saying. Even in Thessalonica, when he was in Thessalonica, by the way, why went the Thessalonian church? He was only there for 3 weeks. I think they could take an offering and take care of him. Right? Salonika is still a place in Turkey today. It's a big city. It's very wealthy. But even Thessalonica, you sent once and again under my necessity. You took care of me twice when I was in Thessalonica. And listen. It's not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. You know, I really appreciate what you've done. But God's got me. God's taking care of me. You know why we do giving? It's not God's fundraiser. We don't really add to his bottom line. The guy who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, you think he's like wringing his hands, oh, they better give or my work will go sideways. I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, I really appreciate it. I love your heart. I love that you've taken care of me. I really appreciate all you've done. But let's get to the bottom line. Not because I desire a gift. I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I'd love to see you giving. And by the way, thanks that you've given to me, Paul says. But it's not because I want the money. It's because I want fruit to your account. Hey, so I get this. I get this. Don't you get this? Ain't you feeling it? But I have all and abound and I'm full. Wait, what? Hello? Memo to Paul. You're in prison. Yeah, I know. But whether it's little, whether it's a lot, that's never really moved the needle in my life. Oh, God, I need a new Rolls Royce. He's one of these health and wealth gospel guys, right? I just want to tell about the good news about Jesus Christ to as many people as I can. And God's worked out. Right now, I get an audience of one. You know, all this guy I'm chained to right now. But that's what God wants. And I am content in doing what God wants me to do. You got that? And that's the peace. That's the peace. I'm right in the middle of God's will. When you say that, and when you, oh, what about this, and what about this, and oh my goodness this, and oh my goodness that, and then you're focusing all your attention on, it can never be peace, obviously. But I have all, and I abound. I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which you sent me, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Thank you, but God is so like, oh, that's, do you remember Jesus when the widow lady threw in 2 mites into the, do you remember that? Because we say, hey, listen, if you only make $10,000 a year, we don't want you to tithe. You keep your, we don't care. I care. I don't want the $1,000. I don't know who gives what. Never knew, never cared to know. Not my, but I love seeing you being faithful to God, and I love seeing God bless you. That's what he's saying. It's a, you know what it's like? It's like, in the nostrils of God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He didn't have any money. No, he has all the money. He has control of it all. He moves in people's hearts. He moves in people's wallets. He moves in people's lives. He can make things happen. He has here. I don't know how many churches in Maine, how many Calvary Chapels own their building. That's a small number. Most of them are still looking for a building. And own it outright? No, God supplied all our needs. He's awesome. I never get nerved up. Lose a job, you get another one. I know. People, again, they're annoyed that I'm not more sideways on something. Yeah, God's got this. This isn't even my first big rodeo. This isn't the first time I've been in need or want or... God's got this. He's got my life. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches. And now people always talk about the according to, out of, not... I don't even want to go there. You know, according to his riches. He's, again, the cattle on 1,000 hills. He can take care of all our needs. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Now unto God, our Father, be glory forever and ever. Amen. Why? Because he takes care of all our stuff. Because he takes care of all our needs. Because he meets us where we are. He's the God of peace. He gives us peace that passes all understanding. We don't even have to worry about anything. No matter what we have, no matter what we don't have, he's totally in charge. And he thinks of all these things. He's teaching them. He says, you know, you guys showed up with a gift. You know, it did to my heart. You guys are awesome. I so appreciate that. Oh, God's taking care of me. Don't worry about that. But I love the fact that you guys, you know, wanted to help out. And that just thrills my heart. Now, he thinks of all this, and he says, now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, you know, along some of the other, like Romans, you read Romans 16, there's a whole list of who's who, this Quartus and Tertius and, you know, all these names that you don't know. And here he says, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. There you go. I didn't miss anyone, did I? He says, you know, and he just gives it all one big, say hello to everyone for me. The brethren which are with me greet you. With all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. My last point, he's making inroads in his bonds. He's at a place where God wants him. They were threatening to throw our brother John MacArthur in jail in California. He's in Panorama City. He wouldn't close his church when the draconian governor of California said, you will close your church. We have our own brother, Don McClure's son. Was it Mark McClure? Mark? I think it was Mark. And he said, no, I ain't. He's fined like millions of dollars. He's got legal representation. That battle's still going on. Close my church. Well, no, you ain't God, and God hasn't told me to do that. You say, we're supposed to obey the government. Right up to the point where they tell us something that God said no. Nobody's out closing this church again. I said that. I say it every time I'm in this neighborhood. Fool me once, and I always ask for a hall pass. I've never been through a pandemic before. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Never going to happen again. The government of the United States authority ends where the door begins. That's all I'm saying. But he's making inroads here into the government into Caesar's household. And he said, yeah, they have Caesar's household. So the reason I started saying is John MacArthur, they were threatening him, they were going to put him in jail. He said, what? He's an old guy now. He said, what? You going to throw me in jail? Fine. You throw me in jail. I'm just going to do prison ministry from the inside. You have a hard time persecuting somebody like that when you play your ace and they throw their trump card. You throw me in jail. Three hearts in a cot, I'm welcome in it. I get time to study. I'll have people to share the gospel with. Yes, that sounds like a good time. Here, he's in jail, and he's still right where God wants him to be, doing what God wants him to do, and he's so happy about it. And he's saying, I'm making inroads here. Those of Caesar's household salute you. I want you to understand that maybe I'm in jail. Maybe I'm going to lose my head. Ain't nothing but a thing. I'll go home and be with Jesus. But right now, I'm doing what he wants me to do. I want you to have that satisfaction. I want you to weigh these things out. I want you to be in a place of peace where you're saying, like, I know that I'm right where God wants me to be. Let's stand. Let's receive the benediction. So you left off verse 23. Now, I'm going to pray it. I'm going to pray it over you. Let's stand. Verse 23. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.